What? Oh, no, I don't want to do it this way. Hey, guys! This is an advertisement for audible.com. It's a website you can go to. Audible.com.
One more time?
Audible.com.
Oh, nice. What can you find on Audible?
Audio books. They're books for your ears. People read them to you.
Oh, shit.
You can get your first 30 days of the Audible Listener Gold Membership Plan free. And it includes one audiobook credit.
Oh, so if you go to trailertrashpodcast.wordpress.com and click on the link, you can get a free 30-day trial for what?
For free.
What?
That's right. It's called the Audible Listener Gold Membership Plan.
Oh, shit.
And by going to our website and clicking on the Audible banner, you can get a free book that would normally cost you $14.95 a month, you guys. You're getting it for free. What a great deal.
Yeah,
what a great deal.
What a great deal. And they have over 100,000 titles on that website. So go to trailertrashpodcast.wordpress.com, click on the audible.com banner, and start your free trial today. And now this.
I already have everything set up, so I can just, like... So I can just... Because they go up through all the way down. Oh, I don't have anything.
That chronic make me paranoid, baby.
Is it true that there is a place in a man's head that if you shoot it, it will blow up?
He got a beautiful Dutch woman.
Dutch? Oh, he got all of that one.
Yeah, we're in a tight spot.
Just one moment, please. All systems are functional.
Hal, we're back. Hi, Hal.
Hi. It is Wednesday, January 16th, 2013, and this is Trailer Trash. I'm your host, Mike Bauer. Joined with me, as always, is...
Garrett Smith.
Hello, Garrett.
Hello, Bauer, you fucking idiot.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
You got skinny?
I got skinny-er? Or...
A little bit.
Oh, okay. Less fat in the face?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. It's the beard. You trimmed it up?
Nope.
All right. Trailer Trash is a podcast where we rate movies solely based off the trailer. I'm stuttering today. I'm cold. It's cold in this room.
You're wearing two different flannels.
Your flannel on flannel. I just kind of want to get into it. I want to bring in our guest.
Yeah, let's do it.
I have it written down here. Our guest today is Chip Chantry.
Yeah, I'm Chip Chantry. The guest.
I just want to get... Everybody knows you. You don't even need credits. We'll get into
it. I don't even know who I am, really. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Chip, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
So I want to just start off, and I just want to... what we try to do is we just kind of do the simple questions of, like... When and how did you get into comedy?
I did. I was born a young lad, and they gave me a microphone. I started a little bit later in the game. I was about 24 or so when I started.
Okay.
Which today's standards, I guess, is a little late. I always wanted to do comedy. I watched it ever since I was a kid. Stand up, sketch, everything.
Yeah,
I loved it.
You're a big SNL fan. Is that, or,
I was
like, Monty Python a little bit more stuck out, or what was
it? You know what really stuck? Really, when I did. You guys probably don't remember. It's called MTV's Half Hour Comedy Hour.
I never saw that.
Late 80s, early 90s. And it was just like, it was basically Premium Blend or Live at Gotham, but it was like three or four comics.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mario Joyner hosted it for a while. Yeah. And it was great. And I would record them. And I would watch like Dana Carvey, not Dana Carvey, Dana Gold.
Dana Gold, yeah.
And, you know, The Amazing Jonathan.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
All those guys. And I would just record it and I would just watch it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then always loved comedy. And then I liked SNL. And then I really got into... I hit high school right when Comedy Central really got big.
Yeah. Okay.
And Mystery Science Theater.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Kids in the Hall.
Yes, Kids in the Hall.
Blew my mind.
Yeah, I grew up on that. That was like...
Yeah.
We never had that conversation like between us of like what kind of background that you had with comedy. Because I know we both liked...
Were you guys state people too?
I didn't get into the state until I was in college.
Okay, yeah.
Somebody introduced me to it. Like, I had seen Stella because it was on TV. I think Stella premiered when I was still in high school, maybe.
Okay.
And I saw it, and I didn't get it at all.
Yeah.
And then somebody introduced me to the state afterwards, and I watched that, and I was like, everything makes so much more sense. Like, when you see them from the beginning where they start with that, all of their comedy totally makes sense.
You can see that evolution.
Yeah.
Because I had that problem. I wasn't allowed to watch In Living Color, like, growing up.
Okay,
like,
that was something that I definitely laughed at.
Jim Carrey always stuck out to me. Like, I didn't understand what was going on, but because Jim Carrey was, like...
So animated.
Yeah, he's so animated, and, like, that's what I remember as a kid. My dad would, like, you can't watch their comedy, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But then, like, I would, like, sneak and see episodes of The State that were on when I was a kid, and I would watch that, and my dad had no idea what it was, and I'm just, like, kind of getting into that. that, but then I always watched SNL as a kid, and I would, like, was so, like, hell-bent. Like, I remember, like, all the names, like, in the intro. Like, how everybody makes that joke of, like, doing the names. Like, Ray Newman. Like, I just knew, like, all those names from, like,
Don Pardo.
From, like, the 90s, and then, like, today, like, I'll still watch it. But, like, Mystery Science Theater is my dad used to watch it as a kid. Or, like, when I was a kid, my dad used to watch it all the time, and I would sit in front of the TV and watch it, and I didn't understand what was going on, but I loved the bits.
Yeah.
Like the little things that they were doing in between, because the movies were so long, because the show was, like, 4 hours
oh,
long.
Oh, you liked the part where they were back in, when you were in the theater.
Then when I started getting older, I started watching it for what it was, and now I watch it, like, all the time.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's so funny. I just saw them Cinematic Titanic, that groom.
Oh, sure, yeah.
They came, it was right around New Year's Eve last year. Mm-hmm. I think they did it this year, too. They usually play at the Keswick, I think.
Okay.
It's great.
Yeah, because
so
I saw the Riff Tracks is the other one that they do, where they do, me and my roommate saw, we went and see, they do it live out of, like, Tennessee or something like that. They stream it
and then everybody. And then you just watch it with the movie because they can't copyright the movie. Yeah, I heard about that.
But
my buddy Ben
was
telling me
so that. Funny because it's Mike Nelson and it's like all the other guys like Bill Corbett and all. And it's to watch them do what they do live is so much better than like because then you understand the show a lot more.
Yeah,
and you're like, holy shit, these guys are so spot on with their timing.
Yeah,
even though it's written, but they still have to know exactly where those shows
exactly
got to come in.
And that's the one thing they make it look so easy that I've been thrown in, and I almost kind of decline it anymore. I've been asked to like do this thing where like I'll live tweet stuff a lot, but like.
Yeah.
Like, I was asked last... It was during the Oscars, I think, last year, where we went to Frankfurt Hall.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Was it the Oscars? I think it was the Oscars. And it was, like, me and Jim Grammond and James Heskey and, like, maybe Pat House and a few other guys.
Uh-huh.
And they asked us to do that, and they kind of put us on a little table, a little panel.
Yeah.
And Frankfurt Hall wasn't the place to do it because it's just so loud.
To, like, interrupt their Grammys?
To interrupt the Oscars or whatever it was. And but we wanted to make jokes. But the thing is, it's like, people were expecting Mystery Science Theater, but, like...
Yeah.
That is so well written, so rehearsed, and they watch those movies dozens of times.
Yeah,
that you can't recreate that.
Yeah,
no, I can't.
Because I want to do that. Like, just be able to at one point, like, just do like an old like book a show and then have a couple comedians, but actually sit down and write the jokes out. So when you do it live, it's funny.
Exactly.
But they even say like, and I heard them in interviews. They're like, after a while, those jokes don't funny to us anymore because we watch that movie like 100 times in a week.
It has to.
And we have staff writers writing the things too, and then when they bring stuff back and they don't like it, they have to go back and rewatch it because they have to make sure that it flows well.
Yeah.
And running jokes through the whole movie.
That's such a process.
And they did it, and those movies are long. And like they write the show, and like it's just so much, and public access, and those guys have done so much for like comedy in general. And I think everybody can thank them.
I still remember my parents were really cool. Like they were average parents as far as you know what they would do. But like they were a little bit more on the not protective side, but you know like they were. I had my limits and like I didn't party in high school or anything like that. And they kept me in a close. But the one thing ever since we were little that they did just allow my little brother and I to do, if it was comedy, they let us watch it.
Because
it was like. Because they saw the value in it, and they saw that I really took to it. And the big, the funny thing, they were like, "You can watch." Like I was watching National Lampoon's Vacation from the time I was like six.
Yeah.
And they're like, "You can watch these movies as long as you never ever say those words."
Yeah.
Like the bad words. So like, I never cursed because like up until I was like 14 or 15, because I didn't want to have them not let me watch the movie.
Right.
So,
you wanted to keep.
But they're like, "Yeah, you can watch because they appreciated them." But I still remember I was in like ninth grade and my parents went out for the afternoon. It was a Saturday afternoon and they left me home by myself. And they were like just going out to run some errands. And I turned on Comedy Central and I'm sitting there and Mystery Science Theater came on. And it was the first time I ever saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Manos, Hands of Fate, which is the best one. And they were 5 minutes down the road. My mom forgot something. They came back and I'm literally on the floor because I was just laying on the floor watching. Yeah. I'm laying on the floor rolling around laughing like hiccuping and like almost convulsing and my parents literally they're like, what do you want, drugs? Like they thought that like they didn't want to leave because they're like, we go out for 5 minutes and you're on drugs. They're like, no, look at this.
That's funny
because I remember like I wasn't allowed to watch the movie Slapshot until I was 18 and because my dad was like, oh, you can't watch, there's so much cursing and stuff like that. So when I was like 16, I found the VHS in my dad's like box of stuff, and they were out. And I put it in. I was like home from school or like half a day, and I put it in.
Yeah.
And I watched it. My dad comes home, and the first thing I say to him was like, "What the fuck?" And he looks behind me, and like he saw that I had like the box, and I like didn't feel guilty. I was like, "How can you keep this from me? A, I love hockey, and this is like the funniest movie that's ever made."
Yeah. And what did he say?
And he's just like, "Oh, he's like, you just need a time to understand what was going on." And I was like, "What time?" I was like, "It's."
That's your dad police right there.
Yeah. Dad police. But that movie, man, it's so funny, but it's so underrated. Like a lot of people don't understand the comedy in it. I like at 16, I'm watching. I'm like, I get every one of these jokes. Everything about this movie is genius.
Yeah,
Paul Newman is above this.
Paul Newman's amazing.
He might be my favorite. Like that might be my favorite movie of his.
Yeah,
like, I know he's done like
so many big movies, sure. But you know Butch Cassidy and but slapstick is still
Butch Cassidy has one of my favorite comedy scenes in it when they're going to jump into the river. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And they're having that whole conversation where he's like, "I don't know how to swim."
Yeah.
And they have that whole conversation where he's like, "I don't care if you don't know how to swim. We have to jump off of this cliff right now into that water if we're going to live."
Yeah.
And they go through that whole thing where he's like shaking him and putting him back and forth and just throws him off the cliff. I love that.
So good.
What was the one that really changed me, and to this day is still my favorite movie of all time? Like, I'm a big Wes Anderson fan, of course. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like Rushmore is like
I love Rushmore.
Is on a mountain for me. But when it was my junior prom, and my date was a senior. She was a senior, and we all went back to her place like afterwards, and we all slept over like in her her den, and there was like eight of us. And she's like, "I got a movie that you know my older brother had, blah blah," and it was Kentucky Fried Movie.
I've never seen that.
So funny.
And from that moment on, I was like, "This is my favorite movie of all time."
Yeah.
It's the Zucker Abrams guys who did Airplane. Mm-hmm. And all that. And to this day, and it's like some of the stuff seems a little bit dated, and you're like, "Oh, I've seen that before," but you got to remember, like, they did it.
That was the first time that happened.
It was in 1977. It came out, and it just. It's amazing.
Because Airplane,
check that out.
Airplane hangs on that level with me with like favorite movies.
And Airplane
I watched
is,
as a kid that and like any of those movies that those guys did were just so. Because then you have like what was the first scary movie they did, and then they stopped doing it.
And
they, like,
But
it was
did they do Naked Guns? They did Naked Guns.
I actually think that they did the third scary movie.
The third one.
I think the first two were the Wayans brothers did them on their own.
And the second one didn't do so well, so they brought in some.
And actually, the third one
is the best one.
I love the third. It has this joke in it that makes me laugh so hard every time I think about it. I've only seen the movie once. I saw it in theaters. But I might have even brought this up on the podcast once before. I'm going to tell you anyway. Because have you ever seen the scary movie? Any of them?
Yes, that's the one with Chris Elliott.
That's the second one.
Is that the second
one? That's the second
one.
With David Cross.
The third one has this fucking scene where this woman walks into her apartment, right? And she had this guy babysitting her child for her.
Okay.
And the guy is passed out on the kitchen table.
Right.
And there's a game of Yahtzee in front of him.
Right.
And so she comes in and her son's not there. And she's like, she wakes him up. She's like, "What the fuck happened? Where is my son?"
Yeah.
And he gets up and he looks like he has no idea what happened. He's like, I don't know. We were sitting here. We were playing Yahtzee. I rolled 5 fives. Yahtzee! And he stands up. He hits his head on a light and falls back down, passed out exactly where she found him. It's so dumb, but it's so good.
But that's amazing.
Yeah.
And but the Zucker guys, I read a story about them, and they said that what they would do with their movies, because they're like, how do you pack those movies with so many gags?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kentucky Fried movies like that, but like Airplane especially, it's like bang, bang, bang. And they used to do stand-up, or at least like a kind of like a cabaret act, like the two brothers. And they said, we were so worried about a joke not going well that we would just pack our 10 minutes on stage.
Mm-hmm.
We joke after joke after joke, just so in case the one bombed, we had another one after it.
Yeah.
And so that just, they're like, that just led to our style. And that's why it's just, it's constant.
And they use the repetition, which I love. Like, like repetition, I found to be like, some comedians can pull it off if they do it right, but then some come off, it's not as funny. It's like if they keep trying to drag it on. But if you do it perfectly, and as we were talking before, like Todd Glass does that whole perfect repetition where he'll drive a bit home, and as soon as the bit stops working, he'll do it again,
and then
it kills again.
Yeah,
just because it's the way he delivers it. It's like I forget who else does. There's a couple comics that I know like that are on like the bigger stage. Louis has. I saw him do like when I saw him live. He did something that had to involve repetition. It was about his daughters, and anything the story that he tells about his daughters are like the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah.
So I think it was something that his daughter was saying, and then that he found funny.
Right.
And he wanted to relay it to the audience.
Yeah.
And he's like, "You guys aren't going to find this funny, but I found it funny." And then everybody's like, "Oh, they're on board."
Right. Right.
But like he does it in the show a lot. Like his daughters are always like, the one girl is always saying the thing, "But daddy, why?"
Yeah. Yeah.
We haven't even gotten to our movie
yet. Yeah, let's talk about this.
I don't even know if I want to.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
speaking of my favorite movies of all time, right here, this is the one. This is wiping the slate clean for me.
So it's Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, starring Jeremy Renner. Is it Gemma Arterton? Gemma Arterton? I never knew how to pronounce her name. And Peter Stormare.
Stormare.
And it's directed by Tommy Wirkola. That's the guy that directed Dead Snow, which I haven't seen, but it was... I think he's Norwegian. I think it was like a big deal because it was like Norway's first like big budgeted, it's going to go into Hollywood,
right,
like movies.
Norway always scares me, by the way. Like, I thought I was going to be more scared by this track because something about Norway, isn't that where...
That's where all the black metal started.
The black metal and
yep.
Gaul.
Church burnings.
Is that his name? Yeah. Yep. He was like the scariest gentleman I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, and
apparently
like,
it takes place against Nazi zombies.
Yeah. It's
they're Nazi zombies?
Well, this is
Dead Snow. Oh, this is
Dead
Snow.
Okay. It's like zombies that are Nazis rising from the dead, and it's like supposedly a big splatterfest, which Hansel and Gretel looks
to.
Which
dead Nazis is like, is not, like, Nazi zombies is not too far off from Jeff Dunham's Dead
Terror. Oh, God, I know. No, you're like, so right.
There's just such a small
Holy
step.
Holy shit, you're so right.
There's such a small step right there.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing, because it's like, they're awful, but they're dead.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Man.
This trailer was like, it kind of blew my mind, because everything about this trailer made me go like, oh, I should love this movie. It's like a weird modern take on a fairy tale. Like, I'm into that. Like, take that fairy tale and
but
twist it around.
The thing that threw you off is probably the same thing that threw me off, maybe, and I want to throw this out there, is every time they asked or said Hansel or Gretel, like, that threw me out. I was like, oh, they're blowing up things, but Hansel, no. I'm like, what? Like, come on, just change the... Like, why does it have to be Hansel and Gretel? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
And I don't remember the exact story. I just remember the two little kids' name.
Yeah.
But I just always assumed they were brother and sister.
Yeah.
And at one point, I swear, at the end, because I was like, oh, yeah, the brother and sister, and they're killing it. And then, wait, are they making out right there? I mean, I'm sure it was Gretel's, like, hot friend.
I think it was Gretel's hot friend.
You would hope.
I got the impression it was Gretel's hot friend, because I think at that point in the trailer, and I'm sure there was some executive somewhere that made them cut the trailer this way.
Right.
Just before we got to the naked people in the tub.
Yes.
That, because we're watching a trailer, we have no idea who is who.
Right.
Somebody out loud said, that's my sister. They've got her.
Yeah.
And then we cut to the naked people in the pool. And I'm sure that was a decision made in an office somewhere.
They had to make sure that, like, all right, listen, that's not going on.
We got to distance ourselves from this whole incest thing you guys got going on for the last half hour of this movie. Like, we can't.
No, I think there's a point in there because Hansel was like, come in when you see my signal. And she's like, what's the signal? Or, like, we have to go save, like, Gretel or something like that. And he's like, what's the signal? He's like, you'll know it's me when I blow one of these witches' heads off or something like that. Yeah. Like, come on, like...
Dude, there were a ton of awesomely bad action one-liners in this trailer.
And then just the action stuff, like, everything I just feel is just so taken. The one where the witch was flying through the forest and they had the wires strung up. And then it just, like, sliced them.
Yeah.
Like, they just stole that from Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Riding through with the Ewoks.
It was like, I love stuff that's just like over the top, like blood splatter, stuff like that. Like, I just think, like, that's why we make movies. That's like using that medium to its full advantage, you know? Just going crazy with effects and shit like that. I love stuff like that. It's fun. Take a fairy tale, give it an R rating, like, just do something crazy with it. Love that. That's awesome. Nothing about this looks awesome at all, and everything about it should be.
It looked. I was like, at first, I was like, all right, this is going to be kind of fun. It was going to go. I was listening last week, the Evil Dead stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It has that campiness, and I was like, all right, this is going to be fun. And then it just looks so high budget.
Yeah,
and just so high. You're just like, why did they do that?
This is
like,
what I was saying about that fucking Evil Dead remake. Like, stop taking this shit so seriously.
Yeah,
it's got to be self aware. It's got to know how fucking silly it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to see it.
Like,
I'm
why are we spending so much money on movies like this?
I don't like horror movies, but because I know the Evil Dead and I already know what's going to happen.
You're talking about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not. I love Hansel and Gretel.
I just think this is just a nut. Like, it's just going down. I think I used to even do a bit about this. It's just going down that rabbit hole of, like, all right, let's. All right, we had Twilight. So it's like vampires, and let's get some werewolves, and now the zombie thing. So now they're just going down the next step to, like, to fairy tale. So it's next is going to be like the Three Little Pigs.
Yep.
Yep. With Lindsay Lohan,
they're doing
Tara
a fucking Beanstalk movie else. Sometime soon too.
Yeah, that's actually on the list of things we're going to be doing. So.
Great.
Well, I was going to say I'm waiting for Hollywood to kill zombies, but I have to say a little bit. Wait for them to chop off the head of the zombie.
Dumb.
Is that bad?
Dumb.
I hope these are Nazi witches. That's the one thing.
Oh my
Nazi
god,
Nazi witches. Witches.
Yeah. I don't even have anything to say. Like, the worst kind of trailer, the worst kind of movies where you just don't feel anything at all.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather be like so.
I think I picked three good ones for this, for our.
I would rather be so angry that this looks like awful and terrible than to just be like, eh.
Yeah. It's like this is the Varsity Blues.
Yeah, it's
like,
exactly it.
I love football. I love kind of comedy dramas, and you gave me Varsity Blues.
Yeah,
that's exact. Oh, I don't want your witch.
Yeah. Oh my god!
It just walked the line of just it could have been something so great.
Right. And there was that fucking scene. I wanted to bring this up where they're standing in a bar, bunch of people around. Some guy who sounds like he's ready to puke is saying he's going to give them this terrible news, and then he explodes. And the punchline to the whole thing was a kid standing 4 feet away from him who got covered in his blood and guts. He goes, "Awesome." What?
Somebody made $100,000 writing that.
Yeah.
Line.
Like, what the fuck? Why are we spending money on movies? Like, why are we spending so much money on a movie
it's
like
probably
this?
Probably Tom Lennon, because he gets paid for every movie.
That's true.
He definitely does get paid for. Yeah.
Garrett, I want to get out of this one. Can you read this, please?
Yeah, smoke all of the joints, as many as possible, so you can just forget that you even tried to see this movie.
3D. 3D. It's in 3D.
It's in 3D?
Good,
smoke another joint so the 3D's
actually
awesome.
Oh, wait, is it 3D?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, then I'm definitely
you're on board now, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, that is...
Well, that's the whole thing where you're saying with the wires and, like, the all the guts come at the screen.
Come at you.
And I was 3D.
I'm in now.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah,
I want
to
see
get high and see it in 3D.
Yeah. Get high and see this in 3D. Get really high and see this in 3D.
Chip, you know the rating system. Did you come up with one?
Remind me.
It's basically anything that you feel that you would do to watch a movie. Like he does. How many joints you have to smoke?
How many?
What was it? Sydney
Sydney
Candy?
Did how many cake breaks?
How many cake breaks?
Take?
Okay, yeah. I'm definitely going to say that this is. I'm definitely going at night to Riverview to watch this. I saw Django at Riverview. It was during the day.
Yeah.
But it was amazing.
Well, can we talk about that really quick?
It was me and a bunch of comedians. I sat next to Mike Rainey the entire time, which is just like your own laugh track. It was amazing. Yeah. And there was Rob Banowitz and Brennan Kennedy, a few of those guys. And it was just... I mean, the movie itself was incredible.
Sure. What kind of crowd did you get in the afternoon at a Riverview?
Very mixed crowd. Crowd. And it was just... But you know what?
Loud, obnoxious?
No. And
but that's why you're saying the nighttime, because this movie would be loud and obnoxious.
Yes. But the thing is, that's why I would go to see it, because I want that. Like,
you want that extra... It's
Yes.
All right.
Like, I'm very big into... Like, I have a pet peeve about people talking in audiences.
Me too.
I hate it. And, I've almost come to blows with a couple guys just about that. And so that's why I hate going to the movies, because I want to watch it. I love the movies, but I hate because people... But for certain movies, like Django, I wanted that, and that's what we got, and it was amazing.
That's awesome. I saw Crash at Temple.
At the Pearl?
Not at the Pearl. At Temple's movie theater for, like, their students.
Oh, jeez.
That was the most mind-blowing experience of my life. I watched a movie clearly written by white people to try and erase their white guilt about racism with a room full of young black kids that were having none of it. It was so funny.
Yeah.
It was so funny. Every time somebody dropped an N-bomb, the whole room lit up and was shit like... screaming and yelling at the
but
screen.
But I guarantee
at the same
time as that person on the screen dropping the N-bomb, I guarantee about 10 of those people in the room yelled the N-bomb back at other people.
It was so funny.
You should have filmed that.
Oh my god, it was funny. It's just that movie. That movie, first of all, is terrible because it is clearly like trying to erase a bunch of white guilt that all these white Hollywood execs have. So they made this movie about that.
Yeah.
Watching it with a room full of young black people was amazing. Their reactions to it were so varied. Yeah. Like they would like You know, that movie is about all these different little stories about race and overcoming race. Mm-hmm. It was like every one of them hit one of these kids in some very specific real way.
It's like,
and they were ready to just tear that fucking theater apart. It was so
like
funny.
Like a new reaction video for like Two Girls, One Cup is you just sit like a
three
black guys in front of one and make them watch Crash and just film their reaction.
Sit a Hispanic, an Asian, and a black dude down in front of Crash and see how they react. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Chip, how can people find you? You're going to be here all week.
I'm going to be here all week, and I'm just going to be crashing here on the floor.
On the floor.
But I'm going to be at Helium Comedy Club on January 30th through February 2nd.
Okay.
With the very funny Bob Marley from speaking of movies, from Boondock Saints. I'm going to be there with him and John McKeever. McKeever and him. And so I'll be there January 30th through February 2nd. You can find me on Twitter, Chip Chantry, Facebook, Chip Chantry. Go to iTunes and get my album.
Yes.
Get the album. Across from the Adonis.
Are you going to show the fans?
Hold it up. Hold it up to the microphone. Guys,
take a look at this.
I just brought a complimentary copy.
Take a look at this. Oh. It's actually wrapped in plastic.
That may or may not have been taken by my girlfriend while I was sitting on a curb at Dorney Park.
Can I tell you, this picture on the back is really funny to me because this is like how I remember you.
Yes.
That very specific
just
stance.
That, yeah.
It's like its own punchline, you doing
just
this with your
that.
Hand. Yeah.
Yes. Sticking it out.
Visual jokes
on a
podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So we'll be back Wednesday when we're doing movie 43, which should be another interesting
awesome
jump. It might actually be funny. I actually kind of like this trailer.
Okay.
But we'll see you on Wednesday. Oh, you can find us on...
Yeah,
oh, Garrett.
Idiot. I'm on Twitter at Philadelphia with an F. And I'll be doing more open mics this week.
You don't have any spots yet?
No. I got offered a spot at Hodgepodge.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, no, I denied that.
All right. Well, sadly, Hodgepodge did not win Witten's worst open mic night, but it should have.
It sure
what
have.
Did win?
Even fucking remember. Yeah. I was too excited for Hodgepodge to win.
Might have won. Can I mention this right here? Did you mention that? Can
we say that?
No, we didn't mention it yet.
I just pointed to it because I know it's a vision.
So
I'll let you do the honors.
All right. So, you can find me on Twitter at Mike Bauer. You can find our podcast at Trailer Trash Pod minus the E on Twitter. And then you can go to www.trailertrashpodcast.wordpress.com, download all the back episodes and the current episodes. We got some great guests lined up coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But I also want to announce our live show, February 27th at The Fire. We are doing Trailer Trash Live King's Cup with Comedians. So basically what we're going to be doing, we're going to be announcing this, like, we'll be doing probably a special episode.
I think you're announcing it right now.
Well, no, we'll do, like, other, like, more announcements of what it is if you've ever played King's Cup in college, it's that, but with comedians on stage for your entertainment. We're going to do a little stand-up show beforehand with all the comics that are on the podcast. We'll be there doing the stand-up stuff, and then we have the wonderful Dan Scully, who's going to be hosting and moderating the whole night.
Love that.
And he will be trying to keep us on track as we get drunk on stage. But there's more details for that to come, and we'll be posting that online.
Is this guy coming?
Chip is doing... He's doing a set.
Yeah,
Chip
will be all there. Right.
But that was going to be a secret, but...
I'm not. I was kidding.
No, that would be out.
Be there that night.
Chip will be there.
Well, I just thought it was weird that Chip would be like, oh, are we going to announce this?
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say.
Chip will be there. I haven't asked him if he wants to be on the podcast version of it yet, because Dan dropped out, but if you feel like getting drunk, you want to be on it. All right, Chip will be on the live show. He'll be going against, from what I know right now, it's John Del Calo and Mike Logan. I don't know if you know
them.
And they both like to drink, so this should be a fun
night.
Right.
All right. I don't know if I can keep up, but I will try.
Oh, you're going to have to, because... Right.
Del Calo is one of those rare people that just gets, like, funnier and funnier the drunker he gets.
Nice.
So it'll be good.
So we'll be back Wednesday with Movie 43. Until then, enjoy your evening.
Bye.
Bye.